I'd like to tell you a lovely Christmas story about the day that I almost made my children fatherless on Christmas Eve. It goes like this. Once upon a time in a faraway land known as Silver Spring, Maryland, there lived a much, 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 much younger version of myself. I was at the time married, and I had two small children. The oldest was about 4 or 5 years old. My husband was a very nice man, a good man, very laid back, the kind of person who made a joke out of everything, which was charming when we were dating. So anyway, I'll leave that there. So the trouble was that I did take things seriously. One of the things that I took very seriously was Christmas magic for my children. And there was something in my family. I mean, I had a troubled childhood. My family had a lot of struggles. But for some reason, at Christmas time, it always turned into magic. There was always the smell of cookies, and there were always sightings of Rudolph for Christmas. My mother just made magic at Christmas time, and I always knew, that I was going to do the same for my daughters. And if anybody messed with that, well, that was going to be a problem. So, naturally, 5 minutes after my daughter got off of Santa Claus's lap, I got onto Santa Claus's lap and started grilling the man for details of her desires. And this is how I discovered, just a few days before Christmas, that my daughter had asked Santa Claus for two things that she never mentioned to me or to my husband. So at the very last minute at Christmas time, we were surprised to realize that we had to get two presents if the Christmas magic was going to be pulled off this year. She was savvy enough at this young age to pull one on us. So, the two things that she wanted, one was a Mr. Microphone, which was this little plastic tape cassette recorder that had a microphone attached to it so that when she was listening to Elmo singing, she could sing along with him and hear her voice mixed in with his voice, and it was a love happy day, and she could take it in the car and take it everywhere with her. Easy enough, it was not the hottest item that Christmas. What was the hottest item that Christmas was Buzz Lightyear. That was the other thing she asked for. So just a few days before Christmas, I am in a bit of a panic because I know Buzz Lightyear's going to be hard. The only thing that isn't more coveted as a Christmas present than this big plastic spaceman was the cowboy that went with him. Woody was the number one present that year. So I started going to the stores, and I went to the usual places, the Toys R Us and the Kmart, and running in and trying to get, I delegated the Mr. Microphone to my husband. I figured it's an easy enough task. Wasn't going to be too challenging. You get that, I'll get the Buzz, I'll go beyond, what is it, light years and beyond, as Buzz used to say, to infinity and beyond, that's what it is. So I was going to get Buzz, and I went store after store after store and heard the same story over and over again. Ah, we just sold the last one. Or, we got a shipment in, but it went an hour later, and we're not going to get another one back till after Christmas. So my anxiety is mounting, because I know that if I fail this Christmas, then I have failed my children, because I mentioned I took things kind of seriously. So it was very important to me that I did not fail, and I was branching out my parameter that I was searching in, and I was going farther and farther away to different stores and hearing the exact same story. Now, we didn't have, you know, Facebook where you could get on and go, somebody find me a Buzz Lightyear and I'll go anywhere to get it. So I had to make calls. So I was getting on the phone and I was calling corporate offices to stores. And I was saying, when was your last shipment that had a Buzz Lightyear in it? And I wonder where you shipped it to and where did it go? How many were in the shipment and how many things do you... And people were very nice. They were tolerant. I'm sure I wasn't the only call they were getting. And I did get a hold of some very nice person. I do believe it was a Kmart that told me they did have a shipment that day that was sent to La Plata. La Plata was 2 hours away from where I lived. It was late Christmas Eve. And it was snowing and sleeting, and I was determined, so I called the store in La Plata, and I got some very nice gentleman on the phone, and I said, find me that Buzz Lightyear. Go tell me it's in there. And he puts me on hold for what felt like forever, and then he came back, and sure enough, there was a Buzz Lightyear in the store. So I said, hold that for me, and he said he can't, and I said, hold that for me, and he said he can't, and then I said, please, God, please hold that for me. And I begged and I cajoled and I pleaded and I pulled the Christmas card and I did everything. And he said, you're not the only mother who's looking for Buzz Lightyear right now. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I cannot hold it for you because that's not our policy, but I will hide it for you. It'll be in the linen section. so many finds it before you get here. It's not my problem. I said, I'll take that bet. I get in the car, and I drive in my clunker of a car. I drive through the sleet and the ice and the snow, and I'm, like, completely stressed out, and I know I'm running out of time. I still have to get back home, first of all, and stuff the stockings and wrap the presents and get everything done, because no matter what anybody thinks about Santa Claus, he is not a man. Maybe the Mr. Microphone. So I get to the store and I race right to the linen section as fast as I can, and I tear the place apart, and sure enough, in between two towels, there's Buzz Lightyear. And I grab him and I'm so excited, and immediately I'm approached by three other parents. Where did you get that? How much are you going to pay for that? I'll pay you $100 for that. Let me have that. Give me that. I'll pay you three times as much as he's going to pay for it. And you know, it's Christmas. It's Christmas Eve, and I do believe in the magic of the holiday. So I said, no, no, and hell no. And I took my Buzz Lightyear and I ran out of the store as fast as I could, thinking, mine, the whole time. And then I raced home through the sleet and the snow, and I got home, and it was somewhere around 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And I see my husband, I'm so proud of myself, and I see my husband hooking something up to our stereo system. At the time, you know, you don't have little things, there was all this stuff. And he's hooking this thing up. I'm like, what are you doing? He said, I'm hooking up Katie's microphone. And I said, no, Katie's microphone doesn't get hooked up. It's a little plastic toy. She carries it around with her everywhere. Oh, no, this is cool. Look, she's going to love this. So I look. He's bought an adult-sized karaoke machine. To our system. And I'm like, no. Santa doesn't buy you something that kind of looks like what you asked for. Santa gives you what you wished for. That's the magic of Christmas. You have to get that out of here and go get a Mr. Microphone. No, come on, let me try it. Let me just look it up. You're gonna love it. Once I get it up, you're gonna love it. And I'm like, so it's after 11 o'clock. I know Toys R Us is closing at midnight. I know there's a Mr. Microphone at the Toys R Us. Get rid of that. Get the Mr. Nancy, just please, just give me a chance. And as he's doing it, we get this loud, screeching feedback. So loud, in fact, that the next screeching comes from upstairs where my children were sleeping. And they're just wondering where this howl of hell is coming from that they're hearing. And I now have to go upstairs and calm my kids down, because if they come downstairs and see us with the presents and everything around them, then we have really destroyed the magic of Christmas. So my blood is starting to boil. And I'm holding myself together as best I can. And I say to Jimmy, get that thing out of my house and get me a Mr. Microphone. Now. And just as I'm saying it and turning very slowly to go up the stairs to get my children, it works. And he thinks it's a great time to make a joke. And he takes the microphone and he says to me, Mrs. Murray, you seem like you're pretty upset. Would you like to tell our audience about how you're feeling? I'd heard the expression of seeing red, but I never knew what that meant until this moment, when everything was awash in the color of his blood. That microphone looked so much like a bludgeoning instrument, I can't even express it in words, and the cord looked like such a wonderful tool for strangulation. And I was resisting every urge to follow through on those things, and I said nothing at all because I was afraid anything I did say would lead to violence on Christmas Eve, which is not the magic of Christmas. And I just turned and walked upstairs. When I came back down, the karaoke machine was gone, and so was my husband. I wrapped the presents, I stuffed the stockings, and the next morning, we had a lovely family picture taken. Katie sitting in the sofa, her Buzz Lightyear here, and her Mr. Microphone here, and her over-the-moon expression. And I was sitting next to her with a glazed look over my face and a baby in my lap. And Jimmy was sitting on the other side, and he was looking at me. And people looked at this picture and misunderstood, and they said, look at the way he's looking at you. God, he loved you so much. But I know that it is not an expression of adulation that he's giving me. It's gratitude. He knows how close he came that Christmas Eve. And he was grateful that I let him live to see the magic of Christmas.